Hello, mom friend. I am so very glad that you're here. If you're new here, well, my name is Layla and I am the host of the Learning to Mom podcast. If you're not new here, then hello and welcome back. The Learning to Mom podcast is all about informing and educating first-time moms on pregnancy and birth so that they can be empowered and educated without feeling overwhelmed. 75% of the time, I interview experts in the field of prenatal health, from pregnancy sex coaches to OBGYNs to prenatal chiropractors to pelvic floor therapists to doulas. The list goes on and on. But 25% of the time, I do a solo episode. So buckle in, because this week is a solo episode. Now, this week's episode is all about postpartum, specifically about the things that no one tells you about. But before we dive into that, I want to read this week's featured review, which is from Megan McCann, 14. She titled it The Perfect Pregnancy Podcast and says, "This podcast is the best. As a second-time pregnant mother, I love entering back into pregnancy with Layla and her podcast. She is the best guest and shares her own story so beautifully. I recommend this podcast to any pregnant woman." Megan, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. As I've mentioned before, it means just so much to me to know that I'm serving you well, especially in your second pregnancy. This podcast really was birthed, if you will, because I wanted to be the resource for others that I wish I could have had in my pregnancy. So it means so freaking much that's what it's doing, especially for you as a second-time mom. So thank you for writing that and for keeping me encouraged. If you want to be featured on a future episode, even as early as next week's episode, then leave a review wherever you're listening to this podcast on. Now, so many of us spend 40 weeks preparing for childbirth and then have nothing prepared when it comes to postpartum. We think birth is the hard part. Well, spoiler alert, we've all been fooled, because postpartum is the hardest thing about pregnancy, birth, and newborn life. I am never here to scare you, but my goal for this episode is to help you set realistic expectations and give you the details on postpartum so that way you aren't caught by surprise, like honestly, like so many of us are. I'm looking out for you by telling you how it really is. So today I'm going to share with you 17 things about postpartum that no one tells you about. Well, no one but me. Us mom friends have to have each other's backs. So here I am doing that. Number one, diving right into it. No one tells you that postpartum actually lasts so much longer than the first 6 weeks. Somehow we have been told time and time again by society and social media and movies and celebrities that the 6 week checkup marks the end of postpartum. We expect that we'll leave that appointment feeling amazing, feeling back to ourselves, feeling ready to have sex again, all the things. We're back. But honestly, unfortunately, that is not the case. New studies and research are actually being conducted, and even the National Library of Medicine says that it can last up to 6 months. So again, not to scare you, but just to set realistic expectations. I had unrealistic ones coming into pregnancy and postpartum from pregnancy, so I just don't want that to happen to you. And amazingly enough, actually, in a few more episodes, I'm having Stacia Scott on from Postpartum Care USA. And she told me in that interview, spoiler alert, that it takes 10 years for you to feel like yourself again after you have your baby. I don't want that to scare you either, because that's not my experience. I feel like it was around the year mark that I kind of felt like myself again. But everyone is different. And honestly, some women's postpartum experiences are really easy. And at 6 weeks, they're like good to go. So just like, don't let that scare you. Birth and motherhood is truly amazing and so much fun. But I want to give you realistic expectations that you probably won't be back to your best self at your 6 week checkup. And if you don't feel like yourself at 6 weeks, you are not a failure or behind or anything like that. Moving on to number two. Speaking of that 6 week checkup, no one tells you that the 6 week appointment is not thorough enough. And just because you're cleared for sex and exercise doesn't actually mean that you are, that like your body is ready for that. Essentially, all that that appointment will do is just check for postpartum depression through a survey that you take, and the doctor will check out your stitches to make sure that they're healing well. Then essentially, they will clear you for sex and exercise and talk to you about contraception. And well, long story short, but it's a very weak assessment and it's pretty routine and it's just like check the boxes kind of thing. So I recommend also making sure that you see a pelvic floor therapist and possibly meet with a therapist or a psychologist or visit a postnatal chiropractor, even get a postpartum doula if you need to ensure that you are like truly cleared, all good to go, just that you're doing well mentally, that you are actually cleared for sex based on how your pelvic floor is doing and how you're, and that you're actually cleared for exercise based on your pelvic floor. But then, I mean, not just those things. Sorry, I got ahead of myself there. But also that you're set up for success as you navigate motherhood. All right. Number three. I need to like breathe. I'm going through these. No one tells you that postpartum hormones are absolute whack. No one tells you about the severe highs and the severe lows that you're going to go through. 1 minute is where you're telling your husband, I love you so much, you're the best thing in the world. And the next, you're absolutely yelling at him, top of your lungs, because he didn't put enough ice cubes in your drink. It's wild. Eventually, these emotions and hormones will subside if they don't get help. But those first 3 months, especially those first 6 weeks, it is a crazy time, and you may even feel like, who am I? I don't act like this. Things like this don't typically trigger me. Why am I so mean? I just want you to know that that's perfectly normal, unfortunately. Your hormones are just like literally all out of whack. Tiny things set you off, not even just like setting you off, but you will just be sitting there and start crying for absolutely no reason. Truly, no reason at all. You'll just be sobbing your eyes out and be like, why am I even crying? So that's something that no one tells you about until you walk through it. But hang in there. It gets better. But I wanted to give you a little heads up because that would have been nice for me to know. Number four, on the same thought of hormones, no one tells you about the baby blues, postpartum anxiety, postpartum depression, psychosis, rage, or just the intrusive thoughts that you'll have. So that you're aware, let me shed some light on this subject. So baby blues are about the first, they're the first 2 weeks after birth when you may be experiencing feelings of sadness, maybe a hard time connecting with baby or doubting that you can do this, weepiness for, or just like crying for no apparent reason, insomnia, and anxiety. Apparently, approximately, because I looked this up, 70 to 80% of new moms experience baby blues. So if you are experiencing them, do not worry. It is normal. You are not a bad mother. You are not going to develop into a bad mother. Know that you were meant to be this baby's mother right now in this current time of where you're at. You got this. If those symptoms continue past 2 weeks, that's when you might want to start evaluating if you have postpartum depression, which affects 14% of women. And again, there is no shame or guilt if you experience this. It's only important to evaluate it so you can seek the help, and seek the treatment that you deserve. And now I just want to chat a little bit about intrusive thoughts, because this is something that, I mean, I want to say 99%, but like it's probably 100%, 100% of women, just based on conversations that I've had, experience. And it's something that women don't know is coming or going to happen, but it is all due to all of the hormonal changes. We feel a lot of shame for having intrusive thoughts because it's kind of scary, honestly, when you're having them. But like, you'll be doing something and a really horrible thought will just pop into your brain. Maybe you're holding your baby and intrusive thought will pop in and you'll be like, what if I dropped my baby and it just died? Or another example is maybe you're out grocery shopping and the thought comes, what if my baby gets kidnapped right now? They're honestly like really scary thoughts to have because they aren't your normal thoughts and you'll feel really guilty and shameful. But I'm talking about this because that's important for you to know because no one talks about this, right? But know that every postpartum woman is experiencing them. They most often occur in the first few weeks after giving birth. That's when estrogen and progesterone levels drop dramatically. But again, if you're actually considering following through with an intrusive thought, or if you find yourself romanticizing about doing it, seek help immediately. It is not your fault, but you deserve help and you deserve to be safe, as well as your baby deserves for you to have help and be safe. Number 5, no one tells you that you'll bleed a lot. I know I've chatted with a lot of guests on various episodes about this because people do not tell you this, and we all enter motherhood and we're like, well, that would have been nice to know. There was a hilarious, not there was, there is, I don't know if I'm, hopefully I deliver this right, but hilarious story of my older sister finding out that people bleed after birth. She, not pregnant, has never delivered a baby before. I'm newly pregnant. My sister doesn't know this for a long time because if you've listened to like my welcome, my introduction episode, then you know the whole spiel. But Matthew and I and like my parents are the only ones that knew at this point. So we're all sitting there. And my sister is talking about pregnancy and then she's talking about birth and how horrible it must seem. And of course, she does not know that I'm pregnant. And she goes, and did you know that after you give birth, you bleed like a lot? You bleed a ton. And she's going on and on about how painful it is and how much you bleed. And my mother and I just sat there quietly because here I was pregnant and she didn't know it. So I do have my sister to thank me for, or to thank for disclosing that information to me. the scientific word for postpartum bleeding is called the lochia. Okay, it's L-O-C-H-I-A. I really should have had like the little Google pronunciation thing where it's like lochia. So I'm really hoping that I'm saying that right because I didn't do a refresher. What I do have to say about postpartum bleeding is that it is different for everyone. You will definitely want to wear adult diapers rather than pads because in my professional experience, the pads just aren't as comfortable, nor are they nearly as secure. And you're going to feel like you're back in middle school and leaking through your stuff because you haven't figured out the right pad or the tampon for your body yet. Side note, because I just mentioned tampon, do not use a tampon with this. Like with postpartum bleeding, no tampon. Like literally don't do it. You're not allowed to. The doctor will tell you that. So I just want you to be aware. Don't, you know, you can't do it. You're going to either be in pads or underwear, which I highly recommend. But some women only need to wear the adult diapers or like the heavy duty pads for the first like, you know, 2 or 3 weeks. And then you should be seeing like a decrease in bleeding. So basically by your 6 week appointment, like you shouldn't be bleeding. But I wore diapers for a very long time. I was still wearing a diaper at my 6 week appointment. And then I wore them longer than that too. But that's also because I had a postpartum issue, which I don't think I've talked about here before, and I'm sorry if I have. But I had an issue, which I do not recommend. I mean, it's not like I could control it, but I had something that's called granulation tissue, and essentially it was horrible, and I hope that none of you have it. So sidetrack here to explain it. So I tore internally, which I didn't even know was an option. Now I do. Now I have mom friends who also tore internally, but at the time I did not know that was a thing. They stitched me up like nothing big. I went home, and about that time where other people are feeling good, because I had a couple girlfriends who, I guess, like we're like texting friends, and our due dates were around the same time. So we'd text and be like, is this normal? You know, how's this going? Their bleeding was like gone. And I was still having to, when I sat on the couch, I was still having to sit on towels and puppy pee pads because I was bleeding so much and I was going to bleed through. Like I was still bleeding through. I'm also crying so much because I was in so much pain all of the time. I actually thought my stitches were infected. I went back to the doctor at around 2 or 3 weeks postpartum, and she looked at me and was like, "I'm so sorry, but this is normal. You're just really red. It's healing." And I was like, "Well, this sucks because I just must be the biggest wuss of all time because I'm in so much pain. I can't even stand long enough to change my baby's diaper. I'm having to change my baby on the floor because I can't stand long enough to change her diaper, give her a bath, like, or even make dinner." But then I went back for my 6 week visit and the doctor was like, "Oh, well, that's the problem. You have what's called granulation tissue." And I guess they didn't catch it earlier when I went in because everything was red and raw, so they just couldn't see it. But once they caught that, I had to go back into the doctor every other week. I think it was every other week. It might have been every week. Until I was cleared of it, which was either like 10 weeks or 12 weeks. Don't currently remember. But that's like a super long time for postpartum bleeding and pain and issues. And that is not normal. But I guess that's worst case scenario. So I bled way longer and heavier than the average woman. But in my experience, as well as some of my mom friends, the postpartum bleeding, like, to give you a heads up, it's typically heavier than a period. And you're bleeding, like, you're bleeding for weeks. You don't bleed for weeks on end during your period. You also bleed more. So some heads up, you're gonna bleed more after you go on a long walk or if you start exercising. I wanted to say that just because I know a lot of women don't know that, and then they're concerned when there's an increase after they walk around the block or something. But so that you're aware, the lochia will begin. So it's gonna start in postpartum, like, you know, you deliver the baby, whatever. And this begin as it starts as like dark red, like. This is fresh blood from childbirth. Large clots are normal, but if any clot is bigger than a golf ball, call 911. This is not an exaggeration. The doctor will like tell you that too. Then after about 3 or 4 days, so by the time when you get home and get settled, it's going to transition to like a pinkish or a brownish pink, and this will be more like period type blood consistency. Then following after a bit, it'll turn yellow or a white discharge. This is very different than your usual menstrual cycle discharge color. It's like a lot thicker and a whole lot more of it. So your lochia will have a very distinct, a unique smell that you've never smelled before. It's the best way to describe it. I guess I would, I just want to be like so upfront, but I also don't want to scare you. So it's just like a weird smell. I would describe it as earthy. It's kind of musty. It has a metallic hinge to it. It's very unique. What people also don't talk about is that even if you have a C-section, you still bleed. So lochia occurs because of the dinner plate sized wound that the placenta left on the inside of your uterus. And because your uterus is now shrinking back to pear size, I don't know how like the flow or the duration of the bleeding differs from vaginal to C-section, but I still know that you bleed because it's about, you know, the hole, if you will, that the placenta left. It's not like about the baby coming through the vaginal birth canal, you know, so that you know what some warning signs are. Regarding postpartum bleeding, if it smells really bad or if it smells fishy, call your doctor. If you have bright red vaginal bleeding day 4 or after, call them. And I'm going to mention this again. If you pass a blood clot that's bigger than a golf ball, and if you seek through more than one pad or diaper in an hour, didn't mention that, but that's for a first time, call 911. Okay, moving on. Number 6. No one tells you that you're going to leak urine. Like, you'll have a very hard time controlling your bladder, that you may just not be able to hold it in and you'll accidentally pee yourself. Or you'll pee yourself when you cough, sneeze, laugh really hard. This is all due to a weak pelvic floor and just from all the pressure of carrying that added weight for 40 weeks. This is the thing though. Just because all postpartum moms are leaking urine postpartum, that does not mean that it is normal. That just means that it's common. You should not be leaking any urine ever. You need to make an appointment with a pelvic floor therapist. If you don't take care of your pelvic floor muscles now, then you will be in your 70s and having to wear an adult diaper because your pelvic floor muscles were never well trained or taken care of. Introducing My Little Songbird, where magic meets Montessori. You can thank me later for introducing you to them. If you've ever dreamt of turning your nursery into a whimsical wonderland literally straight out of your Pinterest fantasies, I'm not kidding, then look no further. My Little Songbird brings you the most enchanting collection of Montessori-inspired toys and furniture that's going to ignite your child's imagination and elevate your nursery or playroom to a whole new level. From breathtaking climbing gyms that will have your little ones scaling new heights of adventure to beautifully crafted wooden toys and activity walkers that foster creativity and cognitive development, My Little Songbird has literally everything you need to create a magical space for your little explorer. But it's not just about quality. It's about creating a world of wonder and beauty that both you and your child are gonna adore. Their handcrafted products are made with love and care from the finest materials, ensuring that each piece is not only durable, but also a work of art in its own right. And let's talk about their silicone toys for a second. They're not just safe and durable, but they're also irresistibly cute. From stackable blocks to charming tea sets, their silicone toys are perfect. So why settle for ordinary when you can have extraordinary, huh? Join the My Little Songbird family today and discover a world of magic, quality, and unparalleled beauty. Visit them at mylittlesongbird.com and use LearningToMom15 at checkout for 15% off. I'm telling you, check them out and you can thank me later. Okay, number 7. Warning. If you have little ones listening in, skip forward about 2.5 minutes as I will be discussing S-E-X. No one tells you that sex will be different than it used to be. So what you probably haven't thought about regarding returning to sex postpartum is that your body has completely changed. I mean, even your brain has changed. Your body doesn't just go back to normal all of a sudden. I just feel so bad. I'm like trying not to scare you, but I want to be realistic. Like, it's really a whole new body that you and your partner have to get to know and figure out. Like, things that used to turn you on or work might not work anymore. And even things that used to be totally up for grabs might really even turn you off. I know a lot of breastfeeding moms specifically have a hard time letting their boobs be touched during sex. It's different for each woman, but know that things will be different. Not in a bad way. Don't let this like scare you. Different isn't bad or less than. It's just different. You're also most likely to need lube if you have never used it before. And especially you're going to want it if you're breastfeeding, because breastfeeding dries you up down there. You probably didn't know that. It's kind of weird if you aren't used to using lube before, but I promise you it will help tremendously. And I even linked my favorite lube in the show notes below to help you out. Dang, we are really close mom friends for me to be sharing that. But don't worry, I got you covered. Moving on to number 8. No one tells you that your relationships are going to change. And I'm not meaning so much with your husband, although that changes mostly because you guys are parents and having to take care of a newborn, which is exhausting and difficult. But I think that's a relationship that most people are aware is going to change. I think that's why a lot of people try to put off parenthood for a while, because they don't want that relationship to change. But for this point, I'm speaking mostly like friendships are going to change. And that's one that I was not expecting. It surprised me the most. And that's honestly because I've always been very, very selective with my friends. Like, I'm very picky. I choose quality over quantity. So my friends are absolutely awesome. They are kind. They are loyal. We don't gossip about other people or cause drama. Like, literally, if you are a drama person, I'm like, you're out. They're awesome. My friends are awesome. They're encouraging and supportive and just really freaking great people. So I was so surprised when Mila came into the world and those friendships changed. Because again, I wouldn't be like, I'm so selective when it comes to friends that my friends are top tier that I wasn't expecting those friendships to change. Like, if I would have not been so selective with friends, or if I would have had friends that like suck and that like bail and don't stay true to their word or anything, like I would kind of expect those friendships to change. So I was really surprised when my friendships changed, because my people are awesome. And like a lot of the friendships that changed are honestly like lifelong amazing friends that I thought were going to be in my life forever. And this isn't anything like against them or anything like that. It's just truly that motherhood changes you. Being a parent gives you an entirely new perspective on life. My priorities changed. So because of that, relationships change, which is only natural. It's a part of life. It's like how when you got married, some of your friendships changed. It's kind of like that. It's just one of those things like I wasn't expecting. So number 9, no one tells you about the night sweats. That's right. Night sweats. Yeah, that to look forward to. You will literally wake up and your bed will be soaked wet with sweats. Sweat. That's not plural. Night sweating is really bad the first 2 weeks after birth, and then it should be gone around 6 weeks. It's another thing that we can thank the crazy postpartum hormones for. On top of the hormones, you also have this like retained water in our body to thank. So it's essentially your body's way of getting rid of that extra water you retain during pregnancy. Moving on to number 10, no one tells you about the body odor. That's right. You heard me. B.O. I felt like I was back in middle school sniffing myself all the time to make sure I didn't reek. Your body actually does this so that the baby can have an easier time finding the boob. How wild is that? But it still does this even if you aren't breastfeeding. So heads up. Number 11, no one tells you how hard it is to have your first bowel movement post-birth. It takes 3 to 5 days for you to even do it. And not trying to be too crude here. You can just imagine the backup, per se. Lansino, is that how I said it? Lansino.com, the breastfeeding support company, writes on a blog post, for the 9 months or so of pregnancy through labor and birth, many factors can add up to make that first postpartum poop unpleasant. For one, your stomach muscles, which help you poop, are stretched and weakened from carrying a baby. You may have pain and swelling down there from pushing, from a perineal tear or episiotomy, or from lingering hemorrhoids. Plus, if you have a cesarean birth, you'll be recovering from major abdominal surgery. What's more, pain medication used in labor and postpartum can slow down your digestive tract, so it takes longer for food to make its way through. You may not even have that much food in your system. Having stuck to liquids during labor and delivery add hormonal changes, dehydration from loss of blood and other fluids, and new parent fatigue, and phew, it's no wonder your body is out of whack. The problem with pooping can be both physical and mental, she adds. Once baby's here, the thought of pushing something else out of your body so soon may seem far from appealing. This anxiety is very normal, but so is pooping. The show must go on. So feel like that kind of hit the nail on the head there, and I don't really have anything else to add. But to make this first bowel movement easier for you, take my advice. Take a stool softener. Also, you'll want to make sure that you're drinking plenty of water and high fiber foods. You can definitely thank me later for those tips. And also, like, it is kind of psychological, like, I know women who are like, I'm just so scared, I'm not going to do it. The longer you wait, the more it's going to hurt, the worse it's going to be. So I would, like, some nurses really, really encourage you and kind of keep you accountable, postpartum nurses, that is, to making sure you have passed a bowel movement while you're at the hospital. So, like, your last day there, most likely. I think that's what I did, and then I had my second one at home. I mean, they were both, like, very unpleasant. But do not psych yourself up, because the longer you wait, like, the worse it's going to be. Okay, number 12. On the same line as your bowel movement, no one tells you how difficult it is to urinate post-birth. So earlier we discussed how you'll leak urine, like, you know, when you sneeze or laugh or something. But right now I'm talking about just, like, when you sit down and purposefully pee on the toilet, it burns. It'll burn because maybe you tore. And about 9 in every 10 first-time moms tear. So chances are it's gonna burn when you pee. So this is what you need to do. Get a Perry bottle. Then take the Perry bottle, fill it up with warm water before you sit down on the toilet. Then as you're peeing, you spray the warm water on your urethra opening. Urethra opening. You can tell I am not a nurse or in the medical field because I always misspell everything. You're going to spray it on your urethra opening while you pee. I'm telling you, it makes a huge difference. It helped so much that I was scared to stop using it to even test if it still like stung or not. I was just like, I'd rather be safe than sorry. Your hospital's going to give you a Perry bottle, so don't worry about going out and buying one. Although, who is it that has? Oh, what is it? Who is that company? Oh, I forget what that company is. They sell a Perry bottle that like kind of sprays upward, which I heard is great, but like the one that I got for free at the hospital worked fine. And then, yeah, they'll give it to you in the hospital and you can take it home with you and use it for as long as you need to.
Parenting in the perinatal period can be overwhelming, but we've got your back. Introducing the Mama Wears Athleisure podcast, your go-to resource for evidence-based knowledge. Each episode features experts answering your specific questions in just 20 minutes. From pregnancy to postpartum, we cover it all. Tune in, learn something new, and feel confident on your parenting journey. Subscribe to Mama Wears Athleisure podcast today, where expertise meets confidence. Mama Wears Athleisure. Empowering parents one episode at a time. Subscribe now on your favorite podcast platform.
Number 13, we are almost there. No one tells you how hard breastfeeding is. Everyone uses words around breastfeeding like beautiful and natural and even sacred. So we hear those words and we think to ourselves, like almost somewhat subconsciously, oh, this will be easy. Honestly, it's not. It is difficult and it hurts at the beginning. You're learning and your baby is learning. Your baby just went through a very exhausting and honestly like pretty traumatic experience of being born and then is shoved on the boob and is expected to eat, which is a workout for them. It takes a lot of energy. So they're figuring it out and you're figuring it out and you're trying to work together as a team. Let me tell you though, it will get, like you will get it and it will get easier. Just make sure that, you know, if you're having pain, you're having issues, like go see a lactation consultant. I just think it's really beneficial to have realistic expectations going in because I don't think women realize how hard it is and then they're struggling with it and they just think like, oh, this isn't for me. I can't do it. When really it's like, no, go see a lactation consultant or just like keep at it. Like I made sure to give it 2 weeks before I made a decision. And by the two week mark, like I had seen a lactation consultant, I think 3 times. I saw them every day in the hospital, which was awesome. And by 2 weeks I felt good and comfortable and it was still hard, but like I saw the progress and I was like, okay, we can do this. So make sure you give it 2 weeks to figure out if breastfeeding is what you want to do or not. And then you can reevaluate. But those first 2 weeks are the hardest. If you can get through those, you can do it. Number 14, no one tells you about the hair loss. You will lose hair. It will fall out and you will think to yourself, how do I even have any hair left at this point? Postpartum hair loss is extremely common and it's only temporary as your hormones are figuring things out. But I just don't want you to be alarmed when your hair starts falling off in clumps, like that's normal. As far as what to do about it, be as gentle with your hair as possible. Like brush very, very gently and only when you need to. Wear your hair down as much as possible. If you need to wear it up, put it in a hair scrunchie or a loose braid or a really loose ponytail. As far as products out there that I would recommend, I personally never used one, so I can't recommend one from personal experience. But I was just like really gentle with my hair and I used my adorable little scrunchie. But I have heard from my hairdresser, who I trust with my life, I know I have talked about her quite a few times on this podcast before, that you don't want to get postpartum hair loss products because your hair is going to fall out regardless. And I guess those products claim to stop hair loss, which they like can't do. Instead, you'll want regrowth products so that your hair can quickly regrow in where it's fallen out. But obviously, just do your research on that if you're breastfeeding to make sure that those products are breastfeeding safe or safe for pregnancy. safe for breastfeeding. Wow. Okay, number 15. We are really in the home stretch here. No one tells you that you will still have contractions postpartum. You thought contractions were only a thing for childbirth? Hate to break it to you. Well, actually, I'm not, because I am looking out for you and I don't want you to be surprised. But yeah, they are much more mild. They're more like a hard period cramp and they don't last all day or anything like that, like period cramps can. But they're especially bad if you're breastfeeding. These postpartum contractions are basically, they're really important because it's your body like trying to shrink the Eucharist. Wow, you can tell I'm Catholic. Trying to shrink the uterus back down to size. The uterus is the size of a pear and it just grew to the size of a dinner plate and now it needs to go back down to the normal size. So these are very important. It usually lasts like 2 to 3 days. So like the days while you're at the hospital or maybe 1 or 2 days after that. I think I felt them at home for a few days after, like once we were discharged. And I have heard, I don't know if it's true or not, but I've heard that with every subsequent kid you have, the postpartum contractions get worse and they plateau once you have 4 kids. Number 16, no one tells you that you will still look pregnant after you have the baby. I don't know why or how it got into our heads. I think I'm going to blame the social media influencers posting pics right after delivery and look amazing, or the celebrities for like being on red carpets right after birth. But you're going to look pregnant like after you give birth. Not 9 months pregnant, but I would say, at least in my experience, I probably looked like 25 weeks pregnant. I wore a black dress to the hospital because I gave birth in the summer. And so at the end, like I just wore sundresses. So I wore a black sundress. So you can't tell in like the photos where I'm holding Mila, postpartum, like our first family photos and stuff. But I remember having a big bump. The bump isn't like firmly shaped. It's still kind of like a floppy bump. And I heard once of a mom sharing how she went to the store at like 3 or 4 weeks postpartum with her newborn. And someone asked her if she was pregnant and she was really embarrassed and horrified and was obviously like, no, I'm literally holding my baby. But yeah, it's not just like it's not like you have that postpartum bump for 2 days. Like you have it for weeks, but eventually it does go away. I don't remember when exactly, because like you're losing weight just all around. So the bump probably goes down to you not looking pregnant probably by 10 weeks. But that doesn't mean you're going to be able to fit into your jeans quite yet. I thought like, I remember having the bump for a while, and like once I got rid of the bump, I was like, oh yes, I can wear my old stuff. But you still have the added weight everywhere else. Plus, my hips grew out in pregnancy, so I couldn't fit back into my old jeans for a while. Number 17, you have made it to the end of the list. No one tells you about what to expect from your first period postpartum. If you're formula feeding or if you're giving your baby donated breast milk, then expect your period to return between 6 and 10 weeks. Some women will go straight from their lochia into having their first period. So if you're exclusively breastfeeding or pumping, that it's a different story for you. There's a big swing for you. So anywhere between 6 months and 18 months is normal. Another thing that people don't know about your first period back is that it's horrible. That is what the majority of people said. So I wanted to be honest and just be upfront, like it's going to suck. But mine wasn't that bad. My first one, I remember when it happened and I felt so betrayed by my body. I think it was around a year postpartum and I was still breastfeeding. So I like thought it wasn't going to come back for a while. And I remember like feeling so betrayed by my body. Like I was so mad that my period was back because I was just like, it's so nice when you don't have it in postpartum. It's so nice because not having a period obviously in pregnancy rocks, but like it's kind of, you don't really think about it because you have all the pregnancy symptoms. Like postpartum, it's just you living your life and you get to wear white jeans whenever you want and you never have to think about it. So I was loving not having a period postpartum, and then I had it and I was so mad. So mad. I was like, already? Even though it didn't come back until like a year. So, but I think my second one was a lot worse. Like the first one, my body kind of eased me in and was like, sorry, but we're back. And then the second one was like, I'm back, baby, and it's going to suck. Some women say that like their first period is horrible and it's like your body really taking vengeance on you for like, you haven't had me in 9 months. Here I am, baby. Did you miss me? So typically women's cramps are way worse and it's their periods way worse than it was pre-pregnancy, but that doesn't typically last forever. Like if it is, you need to go see a doctor. That's not cool. You probably have hormonal imbalance, or like need to fix your diet or something, 'cause your body's not happy or something. But, that will be like the first couple periods and then it should level out. Yeah. So there you have it. There's 17 things that no one tells you about postpartum. I originally had 10 things on the list and then I kept thinking of stuff. So then it became 11 things and then 12 things and then 13 and so on and so forth until we got to 17. So I so hope that it was helpful and insightful. Some women would rather be left in the dark about things, but I am the kind of woman that likes to have realistic expectations and just be in the know about things and have heads up for what's going to happen to me. So I wanted to let you know the 17 things that no one tells you about postpartum. No one but me, because I'm your mom friend and I have your back. If you want to be featured in a future episode, please leave a rating and review. Thank you so very much for listening to this week's episode. I will talk to you next week.